Our scripture passage today comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. We follow the story of Jesus' encounter with the rich man who could not give up his wealth to follow Jesus. Please stand in reverence to the hearing of God's holy word. We'll be reading verses 28 through 31 if you'd like to follow along. Then Peter spoke up. "We have left everything to follow you." Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last. And the last first." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Let us pray. Lord, we have a difficult passage today. Send your Holy Spirit to illumine us now. That the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts will be acceptable to you. O Lord, our rock. And our Redeemer. Amen. I got a hard question to start off with today. How do you get along with the rest of your family? Patricia and I just got back from a visit with our family in North Carolina. Son, daughter, son-in-law, daughter-in-law, and 6 of our 7 grandkids. And it was cool, and it was glorious. And we had the best time. Patricia had a big birthday last week, and she wanted to see her youngins for her birthday present. That was probably the best present I could have given her, was a plane ticket to go see the youngins in North Carolina. So we went. And it went like it always does. There were lots of highlights. My name, by the way, if you didn't know that, is Pawpaw. All right. And when I was in North Carolina, it was Pawpaw here. Pawpaw, come play with me. Pawpaw, come over here. And we played soccer and we played tennis. I'm trampoline and we played baseball and football. And we had a ball. We ate. I gained so much weight. Oh, it was so much fun. But, you know, if you ask me how the trip went, that's the stuff I'm going to tell you about. There were other parts, too. I'm not going to talk to you about those. But you know, you leave wondering, who are these people? Where did they get these crazy ideas? We didn't raise them to be like that, right? I mean, we love our family. But both of us were excited about the flight to see them. And both of us were excited about the flight when we came home. So it makes me ask, what is family anyway? People you're related to, right? Right? Sure. But there's a difference between blood relatives and marriage relatives, isn't there? Of course there is. Husband and wives, you came from different families, from different cultures, right? And both of you think, whether you will admit this or not, that the way you were raised was the right way. At least it was normal, right? It was normal. It's what you're used to. You might not have always agreed with it, but it was your foundation. It's where everything that you believe was referenced. So when differences arise in your marriage, well, you're right. And the other one's just, you know, not. And so maybe over time in your family, you reach a compromise of a new culture, maybe. But you know, when you go back home, when you go back to your original family, things kind of revert, don't you? It's kind of like it used to be. And your spouse feels more like an outsider. And if you doubt me about that, remember how you feel when you go back to your in-laws' family, right? I perform lots of marriages. I get to do another one soon. And one of the big things we talk about in counseling is that weddings are not just between a man and a woman. They're between two families, aren't they? You're bringing two families together in a marriage, right? We know that. We are. And that requires some counseling and some discussion. Because you're bringing, it's not baggage, it's normal. It's your normal into a relationship that is not the normal that they have. And how do you blend those together? These are things that are unspoken but have to be dealt with because they define the relationship. And the goal is to create a new family culture from these different cultures that you came from. This is the culture that will become the normal for your own kids and how they grow up. What you created for them is the culture that they will bring to their marriage when they get older, right? So I ask again, what is a family? So I know I'm a nerd, right? And one of the things I like to listen to when I'm driving is a podcast called The History of English Language. It is literally the history of how our words got to be where they are, how we have the words that we use. And it's been fascinating. Our language is a mutt language of a bunch of different sources coming together. And so we use words commonly that don't have the same meaning that they originally did. And we just take for granted what they mean. But when we look at what the word is about, we see something different. By the way, Patricia loves it when I listen to that podcast because she always needs a nap. And this really helps. So let me give you an example. The word awful, right? Awful. Something bad, right? Not the original meaning. You can figure it out just by the pieces of it, right? Awful means something that fills you with awe. It could be something glorious. A sunrise can be awful. Did you know that? A sermon can be awful. It's just that when we've experienced bad things sometimes, we say they were filling us with awe, like a hurricane. And that was awful. And that's why we have the current meaning of the word awful. So with that understanding in mind, I've had my English class now. Let's talk about family. Is there a word that you can think of that sounds like family? That maybe tells you a little bit about what family means? Did you think of familiar? Did that come to mind? Does it kind of make sense? Family is what's familiar to you, right? And that's a good thing. Our family is where we feel most comfortable. It's where the familiar seems to be. And when you're away from your family, you kind of make a new family of things that feel familiar, right? People that think like I do. They become an extended family because they're familiar. And when you don't have that, like when you're strangers in a strange land, like Patricia and I were 3 years ago, you feel orphaned. You feel abandoned because you don't have that familiar, that family to be a part of, right? You know what I'm talking about. With this in mind, let's look at today's scripture passage because it's really a tough pill to swallow. We're in the lectionary text from Mark. In the preceding passage that Kara talked about with the children, we saw the familiar story of the rich man who comes to Jesus and says, I want to follow you. And Jesus tells him all the things you should do. And he says, I'm doing all that stuff. And Jesus says, you're great. You're on the right path. Now go sell everything and give it to the poor. And the man walks away with his head down because he could not. That money was too important to him. What Jesus says next begins our passage for today. Jesus says, children, to his disciples, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. But did you hear how he addressed the disciples? Children. Did you catch that? Family. He's teaching his disciples about this family culture that he's trying to create, called the family of God. And he's bringing them into it. And today's passage comes immediately after this. And this is where the upsetting part comes. I don't know if you caught it. We're going to go over it again. Peter, seeing all this going on, God bless him. He always jumps in, you know, words first, thought later. And he says, Jesus, we have left everything to follow you. In other words, we're not like that rich guy. We're doing the right thing. See, we left it all. We're on the right side, aren't we? You ought to be happy with us. Look at how we're doing. They made the hard decision to leave the familiar to follow Jesus. And then Jesus drops the bomb. This is verses 29 and 30. Truly I tell you, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields to me and the gospel. You got to leave all that. You got to leave all that familiar to follow me. But it's okay, he continues, because you will receive 100 times in the present age, even more of that stuff. More homes, brothers, sisters, mother, children, fields, family, he says, in the life to come. Is he exaggerating? Is this hyperbole? Or did he really mean we have to leave our families to follow him? I mean, our church is full of families. I love it. I see you all together. I see y'all. The families are together. That's what's made this church. This is one of those passages we ignore. That's just Jesus being Jesus. He doesn't really mean that, does he? Suppose he did mean it. What if we really are supposed to leave the familiar and become part of the family of God? What would that look like? We know how uncomfortable it is for us to step out into these unfamiliar places, to do unfamiliar things, meeting unfamiliar people. We're very uncomfortable, and we avoid it. We don't do it very often, do we? And when we have to do it, we do it as quickly as we can. We go back home where the familiar is. And we recharge our batteries. And we go, whew. Is it a bad thing to have this family familiar? I kind of think Jesus is saying, yeah. Because think about it. Our family culture, the things we call normal, are things that are of our own creation. I just pointed out earlier how different families are different. You bring up families, you know, a husband and wife together, and they're coming from different cultures. They're different. They're our creation. We've made them. It's an idol. It's a fiction. It's something that not everybody shares. Not everybody agrees with. Even our own spouses don't fully buy into the world that we thought was normal. And our children, all of them, at some point, reject it at some level and create their own. The point being, we don't have a common family culture. And our familiar, it defines how we look at the world in a way that's narrower than it needs to be. Why don't everybody talk like me, dress like me, eat like me, pull for the same teams I do, vote for the same candidates that I do, worship like me, agree with me? Why doesn't everybody do that? Why? Because they're crazy. I'm the one that's right, and I know it. If you don't agree with me, well, you know, bless your little old heart. But don't we think that? I think Jesus is saying that our narrow, familiar view of the world is the obstacle, same as that rich man faced. It's the wealth that's working to keep us out of the kingdom of God. Let me say that again. Jesus is saying that your narrow, familiar view of the world is the obstacle, the wealth that is working to keep you out of the kingdom of God. That's why this story immediately follows the rich man's story. It's not about wealth. You know, we have this crazy idea that all these differences that we have go away when we die and we all go to heaven. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. We'll magically all get along when Jesus comes in final victory to the earth. Those that are part of his family will get in, and those that aren't will get what they deserve. How in the world is that supposed to happen? I mean, you've all thought it, right? Is so-and-so really going to get in? The miracle of pulling all that together may be greater than the miracle of creation, which also was about creating order out of chaos. I think what Jesus is saying here is that we only get in, we only become a part of the family of God, the kingdom of God, if we start doing it now, his way, not our way, while we're alive, right here, right now in Houston, before it's too late. That's the point. That's what it means to follow Jesus. We leave the rest of that stuff behind, whatever we think right is, and say, Jesus, this is the right way. Give that stuff up and let Jesus to be our guiding star. And it will be unfamiliar. And we will become an unfamiliar version of ourselves if we do it. To make Jesus' way our way, his culture our culture, his kingdom our kingdom. But he promised us that if we do this, we will receive 100 times as much in the present age. Brothers, sisters, mothers, children, family. We get this if we do it his way. What does it look like? What does this new family look like? Prepare to be shocked. I was shocked when I looked this up. Remember how we talked about family and familiar? Kind of the same word, right? Do you know where those words come from in the Latin? The word in Latin is famulus. I don't speak Latin. Famulus. You know what it means? Servant. Imagine the servant in the household who's there all the time, who becomes so familiar that he becomes part of the family. Servant is what it means to be in the kingdom of God. Really? I'm supposed to give up the familiar and become a servant? Philippians 2. In your relationships with one another, Paul writes, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God to be something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, hear this, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in the appearance as a human, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. This service stuff ain't easy. It takes practice, lots of practice, to leave these lifelong familiar patterns that have always been right for you. Maybe nobody else, but for you, and you need to let go of it. And it takes help. And where can you get practice to do this? Guess what? That's what this is all about. That's what this church is all about. That's why we're here, to practice that kind of kingdom living right here with people that we're not related to, but all have in mind the same idea of being a family, to become a familiar kingdom of God witness, a community. That's what this church is all about. That's why we made it. If you want, if I just double down on this. Have you heard the expression, the theology, that the church is Jesus' bride? Right? The church is Jesus' bride. It gives new meaning to the thing Jesus said about marriage in Matthew chapter 19. Hear what Jesus said about marriage, but imagine him talking about his relationship with his bride, the church. Jesus said, have you not read that in the beginning the Creator made them male and female? And he said, for this reason a man, listen, will leave his father and his mother and be united to his wife. And the two will become one flesh. Being part of the kingdom of God is like being in a marriage. For better or for worse. For richer, for poorer. In sickness and in health. To love and to cherish, because we won't even be parted from it by death. The church is Jesus' bride. Are you ready to take the solemn vow to be a part of his kingdom? To commit to it. to leave the old familiar behind and join the family of God. Central Houston Methodist Church was created so that we could practice this kind of marriage, this kind of way of servant living right here in Houston. And to do it, we all left the familiar behind. Every one of you did to be here. Can we not agree that the blessings have been 100-fold since we did that? Amen. Praise God. Our stewardship campaign, therefore, friends, is not about money. It's about family. It's about becoming a part of this new culture that Christ died to create. This culture centered on Jesus Christ. Behold, God is doing a new thing in our midst. Visitors, are you ready to become a part of this? Members, are you committed to see this thing grow and thrive? Everyone, are you willing to share this good news you have with other people? To invite them to be a part of it? To support it with your time, with your talent, with your treasure, and with your testimony? To go beyond the familiar and become a full-time servant in the kingdom of God, in the family of God? Friends, Jesus is calling you now. It's time to leave your old life behind and join the family he died to create. Let us pray. Merciful Father, it's amazing we can call you Father, because you are that. And that means we're your children. We're your family. You let us call you Father. And all you want is for your children to get along, to love one another as Christ has loved us. We're staggered by the notion that you built a family and you want us to be a part of it. It's hard to process. And that you sent your son, not just to lead us, but to die for it, so that we may be reconciled with you, because we've messed up and by no merit of our own are we reconciled to you, but because of your love for us through Jesus Christ. You have opened the path for us to be a family. We can do nothing more than praise you, Lord. We are beyond words. We are beyond words in part because we know we failed you. We have not acted like this. We've been so held on to our way of doing things, our right, that we have shut even you out in the pursuit of what we know is the right way, even if nobody around us shares it. And we've caused harm. We've sinned. We have hurt other people. We've hurt your children, who are also made in your image, by our negligence of this one great calling we've been brought into to be a part of this family. So, Lord, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law and rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Lord, hear now our silent prayers of confession and intercession, where we admit this and ask for your forgiveness, that we may be reconciled with those that we have hurt. Hear our prayers, Lord. Friends, hear the good news. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. Friends, is reconciled.